Georgia, online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The political world is focused on Ohio today, where voters are filling an open congressional seat in a race that's said to be unusually tight. Democrat Danny O'Connor running neck and neck with Republican Troy Balderson in a district that's been reliably Republican for three decades now. The TSA has announced it has no plans of dropping screening at small airports. Administrator David Pekoski denies a CNN report that the agency was considering ending screening at airports that serve planes with 60 seats or fewer. President Trump says stiff U.S. sanctions against Iran are back in effect and that anyone doing business with Iran will, quote, not be doing business with the United States. The sanctions reinstated today target financial transactions that involve U.S. dollars, as well as Iran's automotive sector, the purchase of commercial planes and metals, including gold. On Wall Street right now, the Dow is up 165 points. This is SRN News.
A sunny and warm day today with only a very slight chance of rain. Our high today will be 92 degrees. This evening, clear skies. Overnight, the low, 76. And for tomorrow, another sunny day is expected and warm weather. The high tomorrow, 94 degrees.
Good afternoon. Welcome to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes here with my good buddy, Doug McCary. Doug, August 7th, about 200 degrees outside.
Man, it feels like it, doesn't it? Doesn't it feel, I told Lori it felt extremely hot.
I am so glad to be today. In this studio today.
You know, I was having a chat with a guy who was telling me he had gone on a cruise, on the Alaskan cruise up there.
Right.
And he said, yeah, you know, I was feeling bad because it was, you know, it was hot in Fairbanks, Alaska. It was like, you know, I don't know, in the high 80s, maybe low 90s. And I was like,
it gets that hot up there?
I was like, we were in the Philippines, man. Mm-hmm. It was like 100 degrees and 100% humidity.
Exactly.
I remember over there, Brad, I sweated so bad that my shirt was wet and then dried and then wet and dry four times in a day. I don't know about yours. Mine, it was really bad.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe it's you get over there. I mean, we were dressed the best possible way we could be dressed over in the Philippines.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you're going to sweat. We're in vehicles that don't have air conditioning, or at least some of them. I think one day I had air conditioning, which I tried to talk that guy into going with me the rest of the week.
You wanted to hire him just as your personal.
But, you know, when I come back here, you know, I put my somewhat dress clothes on and, you know, I go into meetings. I've got sweat dripping down my back.
it's bad. It's hot outside. That's for sure.
But do you remember when your boys were at that age where they'd go out and play?
Yeah.
You know, and then they'd come back in and my wife is like, man, you smell like sweat.
You smell like a boy at recess.
It about boys in the summer?
They sweat really bad, man.
Well, good to be back in the studio again. We're live and, you know, we're going to get back in the groove here in the next couple of days. Probably by the end of the week, we'll be right back to normal for SWAT Radio.
I hope so. But there is a lot going on. You know, again, I want to get into some of the headlines that have happened, but things that are going on. But today I was with you over on the west side of town.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, one of the things I appreciate about teaching over there at that west side Bible study with you and some of the other guys that teach is, you know, we got SWAT going right now. We're going, you know, we've been going through Matthew. We're going to pick that up again in September. But over there, they're kind of going through Acts.
Mm-hmm. We did Matthew about 5 years ago.
But I shared with you guys this morning that as I was reading through and preparing for this study and doing stuff, I learned stuff I never had learned.
Right.
And how much information there is in the Bible, how many dots that you and I have failed to connect, even though combined between us, we've probably read through the Bible 50 plus times.
That's probably right.
Isn't that crazy?
But I mean, you brought it up today, this morning, about I think it was Justin Peters who said, you know, who on this earth has ever plumbed the depths of the scriptures?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you think of all the people you've read, you know, whether it's a Spurgeon or a Martin Lloyd Jones or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, those guys had a hunger for the Word of God, because you're never going to plumb the depths of the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always things. I mean, you know, Doug, we left this morning after you taught. Jake and I, on our way home, we're just discussing the Word together.
Isn't that great, though? And that's one thing that I think, that's why community is so important. And we talked about that, in that Paul's great love for the community of faith and believers drove him to preach past midnight. I mm-hmm. mean, from midnight till the early in the morning. Have you ever... I've never been a part of anything like that where they taught through the night. I think, wouldn't that be fascinating to just see if...
Actually, so I don't know if you've ever been a part of the secret church done by David Platt.
I heard about that.
Which we've done that a couple of times, where I think it's gone into 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. I know it's gone past midnight. You know what's interesting about that? It was great that you brought that up, too, because how often are we in the flesh just tired? I'm just done.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for me, Doug, I often will prepare to teach, and I can stay up for a long time as I'm opening and studying the Word.
Mm.
I don't know if you're that way, but I don't know why. God just gives me the energy to stay up later.
Well, yeah. Well, when you get it, to me, it's like when you find a nugget like mm-hmm. that, or something that really, it kind of gets your adrenaline flowing to want to get more.
Yeah, it's like you... It's like a diamond or something you put up in the light. You just want to look at it from all different angles.
But to be fair, if you go back in our journey, earlier in our journey, when we're younger and our eyes tended to be more on the world, I think you shared this or somebody shared it. If you go in on a walk through the forest and you're not a botanist, you don't notice a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go through the walk and you're a botanist through the forest, you see a lot more and you observe a lot more. It's the same way with scripture. If you're not a believer, you can read the Bible till you're blue in the face and you just really pour through it, and it's not going to make any sense to you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have the Holy Spirit revealing truth to you. And then as you grow in it, even now, that's what I think. The things we discover later in life, it's the meat that we weren't ready for the meat. Like Paul says, you can't handle the meat, so you just take the milk. And so it's this process of growing through it. But it, to me, I don't know how you could be bored enough to fall asleep as you're reading through this, realizing it relates to your soul and the soul of somebody else that is an eternal issue. You know?
Well, I thought it was good that you brought to light, you know, there's so much in scripture that you just go right over.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he mentioned the lights, the torches, the lamps that were in the house, and not really realizing, I mean, you hear this story about this young boy who falls out of the window because he's fallen asleep. Okay, well, then why did they mention the torches? Well, the reality is that's probably what caused him to fall asleep.
It is. And you know, it's, as you look at that and you think about that, one of the issues of that early church period was specifically in that area of Troas, is they were accusing the Christians of being secret and hidden. So by lighting all the torches up, one, they were illuminated. People knew that there were 40, probably 50 people up there in that room.
That house was a lighthouse.
But, you know, I remember I was thinking about, as I read about it, you know how you kind of go back to your own experiences. I was in Russia one time in the back of a truck, a 2x or a 6x, you know, one of these big army trucks. And it was so cold. It's like 30, 40 degrees below. So they had a heater in the back of the truck. Well, the fumes were making me nauseous and sleepy. It's like carbon monoxide, right? You know, so this young man was up there. You know, people give Eutychus a hard time because he fell asleep.
Mm-hmm.
But it says he was fighting it. It was a slow thing. It wasn't something quick. And probably because of the torches and that. And what was so incredible to me was he fell out, he died, they went down, Paul revived him, and then they go right back to teaching again. They didn't call the night and go, okay, it's time to quit.
Right, exactly.
Which we would have done.
But, all right, so let me just share. You ever wonder when you teach, because you teach a lot, I teach some, you know, I'm often wondering, what's the impact? You know, what's
the takeaway?
Yeah, what do you come away? And that's the cool thing about the scripture. It's not really Doug's job or Brad's job to bring conviction.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we know from scripture, the Holy Spirit is our teacher. You know, and oftentimes, now you may share from your own perspective how that word is impacting your life.
Mm-hmm.
And when you share that, it might go, wow, okay, yeah. That. You know what struck me, and I've got my notes literally in my hand for if you're listening. You talked about Aristarchus, and you talked about Secundus.
Mm-hmm.
And you went into talking about Aristarchus comes from the word aristocracy, which is wealthy.
Yeah, you know who shared that with me? Jim Boone. Jim Boone shared. He actually taught Sunday on that.
Right.
And shared. I never knew Secundus was a number until he shared it.
Well, you see that. You mentioned that. You didn't say what it was, but you said it's a number.
Yeah.
Well, the first thing I said is it means second.
Yeah.
It's got to mean second.
Yeah.
And it's the second slave of the house.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so you've got Aristarchus and Secundus doing ministry together. Both disciples doing ministry together. You know, two totally opposite ends of the spectrum economically.
Yeah, I mean, it's downtown Manhattan and somebody from...
The bum?
It's working together because, as Paul said, we're all one in Christ in Galatians. Mm-hmm. And so... you know, I think the thing as I studied that passage today, I was taken back by Paul's love for the people of the church and our drive in America toward consumerism in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And that word conduit versus being a consumer just kept coming back to me. Conduit is an instrument. It's a passageway. It's something used to get something, two things connected, right? And that's what we're supposed to be. We're not brought in to be consumers. We're brought in to be a conduit.
Well, I remember it's been a long time, but I remember a pastor you and I both know well, Doug Rutt, teaching on the idea of, and you kind of touched on it a little bit today about we are receivers and then we are transmitters.
Mm-hmm.
And so often we look at the church as the place where we come to get juiced up.
Yeah.
Kind of like a battery pack to your drill, you know, at home.
Mm-hmm.
I use a drill every once in a while at my house. It's never charged. And so I got to leave it on the charger for, you know, half an hour and then I can use it. That's kind of the way we look at the church. I'm going to go Wednesday night so I can get charged up. Mm-hmm. To go make it till Sunday. And then Sunday, I'm going to come back, get charged up. When in reality, we need to be plugged into the source full time.
Yeah.
So that we can be the transmitter of the power.
Exactly. And those meetings are for us to worship God.
Amen.
And to receive instruction, but it's also to give and to encourage other people.
Building up and equipping the saints.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, anyway, it was a good lesson. There was a good takeaway, several takeaways for me, but that was definitely one that I will hold on for a while.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to Moeller this morning and his little briefing thing, but he talked about how some of the people are turning to artificial intelligence to try to figure out why secularization or the drive toward atheism is moving so slowly. Why are people? I mean, it's really interesting. They're posing all these questions. Like one of the things is, what if, you know, 50,000 Muslims showed up in Europe, and you know, if 50,000 immigrants go into Europe, they're Islamic. How would they behave? How would their beliefs influence their behavior? And basically, they're predicting how many of them would go to maybe Christianity or to a secularist mindset. And they're using artificial intelligence to predict these things because they can't understand why people are not rejecting religion more. There's a drive. So think about this. One of the reasons it's important is because the United States local control of schools and the possibility of private schools is that there's a drive there to drive out any references to creation and all that. And I know we got to take a break. So when we come back, I want to talk about that. And even Commissioner Putnam, who I just had a chance to meet, and maybe we'll get on next week to talk about his view of the schools in Florida.
Perfect. Sounds good. Hey, if you want to join us this afternoon, 904-401-1413, SWATradio.com.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomneal.com.
SWAT Radio is brought to you in part by Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. is a full-service sales door and window installation company. Both of the owners are licensed contractors and are involved in the daily operations of the company. All of their trucks are company-owned and fully equipped. Their mission is to provide Jacksonville and the surrounding area with door and window replacement services. To learn more, call 904-701-3667. That's 904-701-DOOR. Or online at www.acedoor.com.
Hey, welcome back. I almost just let you come in there, Doug.
I know. We haven't heard that in a long time, have we?
We didn't hear it at all yesterday, Brian. Why didn't you tee up any Peter Cetera so Doug could,
man,
could
I missed
pipe
that,
up?
Dude. I missed old Peter.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I know our listeners miss you, you know, karaoke-ing it.
I don't know if, you know, I tell you, one thing, you know, I know we mention Mueller a lot. His briefing is probably one of the best insights into culture from a Christian perspective that I've seen, because he brings up things that I don't catch in other papers or reading news articles. And, you know, we've the way we do news now has changed a lot because of the internet and different things. But he talked about the Episcopal Church in the USA and how they're revising their Book of Common Prayer. Now, the Common Prayer book is basically what they use for a lot of their services. And, you know, they came out and they approved same-sex marriage, and it hasn't put that within the Book of Common Prayer yet. So they're trying to revise some of that stuff, but there's some other stuff going on that they're actually, instead of putting words like king, they're going to go to a gender neutral term instead of, you know, saying he, they're putting she. They're gonna change some of the pronouns that were used in the Bible to say things differently. And the problem with that is when you start changing that kind of language, you're kind of really redefining God,
right?
And you're worshiping a different deity. And I mean, this has certainly been coming for a while, but again, this, it just kind of, it's almost like the frog in the kettle. People just, you go from one thing and to another. And I'll never forget, Steve Farrar went up to a church to help them work through an issue, And he made the statement, if you deviate from scripture in this one area, then what's to keep you from just going further down? Because he said that's where you're headed.
It's erosion.
It is.
Go look at the river or the beach, and you see over time, it's very subtle.
Mm-hmm.
But when we start giving in on these critical things, don't be surprised 20 years from now we look back and we have same-sex marriage and we have these things that we have now.
Well, he makes this interesting quote, Mueller does, that I thought was very, very insightful. And this is why I like hearing his perspective on some of this stuff. He said, you know, this debate has been going on for a while in the U.S., but what's interesting is it's 2018 and it's still an issue, talking about the language of Scripture. And he says, this is a powerful testimony to the power of Scripture, that the words of Scripture that continue to haunt the world, the secular world, the words of Scripture that still exert a remarkable authority, even though we've been in a secular age for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that for a second. That there's still, that the Episcopal Church is trying to be liberal. They're trying to do it, but it's a battle.
Yep.
Because this has been so there, because the God-inspired language of the Bible is profitable for reproof, correction, and instruction. And, you know, it's not like the Constitution even.
Was it James that says the way of the transgressor is hard?
Mm.
I think that's true, you know, within an institution. When you venture off, in fact, I thought it was great what Rod Hanley said this weekend. You know, and you're a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
You get off 1 degree. Well, in a 10-foot room like this, 1 degree is hardly noticeable. But 1 degree over 20 years, there's going to be some real problems.
Well, there is. And listen, I realize that, I don't want to jump on a beat up a pastor bandwagon, but this is in the news now. So this is something that we as believers have to address. It came out today in the New York Times, told the story of a woman who worked as Bill Hybels' personal assistant at Willow Creek. And Willow Creek is huge in its influence in the world through the Global Summit and all these other things. And there were multiple occasions where they said he behaved in inappropriate ways. He denied the allegations, but the elders of the church said, we now believe. Now, this is elders that have known him for a long time, elders that have been closely associated with an investigation. And what they said is, we now believe that Hybels entered into areas of sin related to the allegations that have been brought forth. Yesterday, they announced plans to launch a new investigation into him. Well, Hybels took early retirement, and a guy named Steve Carter became the lead pastor up there.
Mm-hmm.
He resigned his position this past Sunday because he was in disagreement as to how they moved forward. And he says, I cannot in good conscience appear before you as your lead teaching pastor when my soul is so at odds with this institution, he wrote. You know, 1 degree, 1 degree off, and Satan will wait 30 years to spring a trap.
Sure.
He will let you go down a road of thinking you can get away with stuff. And unfortunately, when you live in the celebrity culture we live in, and a lot of these celebrity leaders don't have accountability, Brad. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have people. It's like I was sharing this morning that there's, you know, people who preach, who if you go up to them and you question them about their teaching, they get offended and won't even talk to you. They won't dialogue with you. They don't have dialogue with people in the body. They just get up on a Sunday morning, they preach their message, they never engage in conversation. And when you have that kind of ministry, it's easy for you to develop a second life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Because you have no interaction with people. Because do you think people can't tell if you're real or not? You know, and people write it off as introversion and you know, I'm just not a people person. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're not a people person, you don't need to be a pastor of a church.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. If you're not a people person,
right.
you don't need to, just teaching is not qualification to be a pastor of a church.
Well, even just the label a people person.
I mean, about that. Could you ever imagine Jesus going, I'm not a people person?
Right.
Could you imagine any of the... Paul, I'm not a people... Paul was out there and he loved the church because he loved the Lord. And when you love the Lord, you will love his people.
That's right.
It doesn't mean that you like the quirks of everybody. And I get that. We all got quirks, but you got quirks too. Everybody has quirks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this celebrity culture of our country has unfortunately put these people up, and then they end up getting set up, a lot of them. And the enemy's wanting to set them up. This is a spiritual issue. This is not just a personal issue. And the enemy, we're in a war.
I wish I'd have brought the notes from this weekend.
Oh.
You know, and I've got them. In fact, by the way, I did bring this book in today. Our guest speaker this weekend at our SWAT conference was Rod Hanley. And great book. I haven't started it, but I'm about to start. Growing Through Accountability, Character That Counts. And it's really a book on accountability. And in fact, Doug, I just wanted to share with our listeners, I love this card that he put in here. And it's kind of these questions that you ask. You know, I mean, Doug, what would you say? And I think Rod may have even mentioned, how many people in the church are in some sort of an accountability relationship?
Oh, yeah.
I think the statistics are just like, there's only like 2%, 1%.
Okay, so I told you I was at this meeting, right? So I'm at this meeting of pastors and leaders, Christian leaders, and today, he asked about SWAT, because I've got on a SWAT shirt. And so I'm telling him about SWAT and accountability. He goes, you know, I've been a believer for 40 years, and everybody talks about accountability, and I know I need it, but, you know, he just did like that and said,
really?
Yeah, he goes, but what you're talking about, I think I would like. Because for a lot of people, when they hear accountability, they think about guys who just sit around and tell about all their sins. You know, I don't know. Have you ever been in these groups where guys do that? They dominate the whole time. And all it is a sounding board for sin. Instead of guys who are doing life together. I don't think Jesus just got the disciples and they talked about how Peter failed and how Andrew failed. That's a part of the community, but it doesn't dominate everything. It's just when you blow it, you have somebody there to help you with that and come alongside you.
Well, I do think, Doug, we live in a time where people are okay confessing their issues. They're okay saying, man, I really struggle with this.
Yeah.
And they think that's enough.
Well,
you know, we're supposed to confess, and then there's a second part to it. It's called repent.
Wait, what'd you say?
I know. That's a tough word, isn't it?
I don't know if I...
Confess and repent.
Repent. Ooh, that's such a biblical word, oh, man. You know, you're getting all Bible on me.
I know. Well, we're going to take a break in a second, but let me read just... These are questions that Rod Hanley... developed. I don't know if he personally developed them, but, you know, I read through these and I thought, man, are you asking these questions to somebody else, or is somebody else asking these questions to you? Number one, have you spent daily time in the scriptures and in prayer?
Mm.
You know, Doug, number one SWAT bullet for us is God's word.
Mm-hmm.
That's second our starting is prayer.
Point. Yep.
Because, you know, and you think about the 5 points. The first two are about your relationship with God.
Which is what it should be.
Absolutely. Number two, have you had any flirtatious or lustful attitudes, tempting thoughts, or exposed yourself to any explicit materials which would not glorify God? Let's just pause for a second there.
Wait, flirtatious. Is it wrong to flirt? You know, some people think that here's the issue.
Well, define, right?
How do you define
flirtatious? How do you define lustful attitudes, tempting thoughts, or expose yourself to any explicit material? Mm-hmm. Man, you don't have to go far to find explicit material.
It can be in the palm of your hand in an iPhone.
And
or
it could
an
be
iPad.
In your mind.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean? Number three, we'll take a break after this. Have you been completely above reproach in your financial dealings?
Wow.
Yeah, these are tough. These are really tough. We're going to take a quick break. Hopefully you can join us. You want to call in 904-401-1413.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Anybody doing business with Iran will not be doing business with the United States. That threat today from President Trump as he announced today that stiff U.S. sanctions are back in place against Iran. But he is getting some pushback from the European Union foreign policy chief, Federica Mogherini, urging small and medium-sized enterprises in Europe to increase their commerce with Tehran.
It is a fundamental aspect of the Iranian right to have an economic advantage in exchange of what they have done so far, which is being compliant with all their nuclear-related commitments.
The U.S. sanctions target Iran's automotive sector and financial transactions involving U.S. dollars. The political world focused on Ohio today. That's where voters are filling an open congressional seat in a race said to be unusually close between Democrat Danny O'Connor and Republican Troy Balderson. The TSA says it has no plans of dropping screening at small airports, despite what you may have heard.
Administrator David Pekoski denies a CNN report the agency was considering ending screening at airports that serve planes with 60 seats or fewer. The idea was reportedly floated as part of an exercise on how to save money. But in a statement to The Hill, the agency calls that report misleading.
That is Wally Hines reporting. Police evacuated part of a terminal at the Frankfurt airport today over concerns about security.
Federal police say they stopped boarding in Area A of the airport's Terminal 1 and were clearing the security area. A police spokesman told the Associated Press that there were indications that at least one person entered the security area in Area A without authorization. It wasn't immediately clear how many people were affected. I'm Zaria Shakili.
On Wall Street, the Dow right now up 160 points. More details on these stories at townhall.com.
There's a crash on I-95 on the southbound ramp from Airport Road. Of course, that's on the north side near the International Airport. Also, an accident on the West Beltway, still in the clearing stages. 295 northbound at Wilson Boulevard off to the side. And a disabled vehicle on Butler Boulevard heading east at the 295 East Beltway. Plenty of sun this afternoon, becoming partly cloudy tonight. Low 75. Wednesday, mostly sunny. High 94.
This is what happens when you pull
what
the
happened?
Plug.
Brad, you disconnected, man.
You know, that happens to me regularly, you know, when I'm at this mic. But, hey, that's okay. I was singing as we were coming.
Why can't we be friends?
Let me I want to just finish up the rest of these questions, and we won't spend a lot
of
time on it.
Do you have to, man?
I know.
I'm already feeling bad.
Here's the thing. In fact, on the break, you and I were just talking about this guy you ran into at this meeting today about accountability. And you know what, Doug? Back in the old PK days, Promise Keepers, there was a real emphasis toward men being accountable to one another. And oftentimes men think accountability is just saying, yeah, I struggle with this or I struggle with that. And the reality is you and I are in an accountability relationship. We know each other.
Well, listen, we have accountability in many areas of our life already. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's just that we don't really focus on the accountability of our spiritual life. It's like Brian is working here in the radio station. He's our producer today. Brian is accountable to the radio station for what he does.
Are you, Brian? Are you accountable?
I am.
Yeah,
okay. That's what we expect.
If he doesn't do certain things, they're going to point that out to him. They're going to be coming in here and say, Brian, you need to do this. Well, in the same way, spiritually, Rod, these questions that he's put together are not original with him. He would tell you that. They're just questions that help us think about areas of attack of the enemy. And where it's just like we were speaking about Bill Hybels a while ago. Bill Hybels is a guy that walked on water for a lot of people. And this is the danger with any pastor. If you're listening today, and here, ask this question. When people ask you about church, or they ask you about your faith, do you tell them about your pastor, or do you talk about your relationship with Jesus? That's an accountability
big
question. Because listen, your pastor, whoever it is nothing more than a conduit. He's a conduit of the Creator God to speak through him. And yes, he's a servant. But if you talk more about him than you talk about Jesus, you might want to step back, because you may be setting him up.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Name any other organization. It could be an athlete, a sports team, a bank, any kind of company. There's accountability within that company.
Absolutely,
in fact,
there is.
There's no successful organization anywhere in the world where there's not accountability.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to walk in the ways of the Lord, I need help.
Mm-hmm.
I need God's word. I need prayer. I need men in my life who are willing to hold me to a standard, not in a legalistic way, but even what we were talking about yesterday, Ephesians 2:8-10, that we're to walk in a manner worthy of this calling that we've been called to. We're to do works that line up with what God has kind of laid out for us to do.
Well, I think we've forgotten in the church what Paul says. Listen, some of you say I'm a Paul, some of you say I'm a Apollos. He goes, listen, it's not about me, it's about Christ. And he was very careful not to baptize people, because he didn't want, he baptized some, but he didn't baptize a lot, because he didn't want people to go, oh, I'm baptized by Paul. That makes me more holy than somebody else. I just think we got to be very careful in our culture, because it was very disheartening, because this thing with Hybels, I was hoping it would not be a thing, because I really think he really wanted to serve the Lord, and the enemy came in and obviously took advantage of some blind spots. And that's why we need accountability.
Yeah.
That's why I need a Brad in my life who can say, hey, you know what, Doug, might want to reexamine this thing that you did, because I know you say you love the Lord. You know, I got one friend, Brad, who I feel very convicted to say something to about something, and they know where I feel, because one of their siblings told them that they're professed to be a Christian, but they're going into a direction that's counter to what the Bible teaches. And they sent me what I call a preemptive strike text that says, listen, I know how you feel, and I really don't want to lecture, so no need to write me. And I don't want to go down that road. I'm happy doing what I'm doing. Thank you very much.
We always say there's either three scenarios. Either that person, number one, doesn't know the Lord,
which is the worst case.
Yeah. Number two is rebellious.
Yep.
Number three is exhausted. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we can just be beaten down by the world and just be worn out. I mean, you've been there. I've been there. And there's other times when I'm rebellious.
But when we're beaten down, the enemy knows that,
yes,
and he tries to take advantage of that. Think about Elijah. Elijah just kicked 400 prophets rear end on Carmel, and Mount Carmel, and Carmel. I don't know. I'm thinking of California,
yeah, exactly.
And I'm thinking in Israel. So anyway, and then he's scared of Jezebel. I think he was tired.
Exactly.
He was just exhausted, and he ran and. And I'm the only one. And God says, no, you're not the only one.
But isn't that a great picture of why we need the fellowship, the community, which we talk about at SWAT.
Yeah.
And it's not necessary. SWAT's not the only place you can find it.
Oh, no. Not by any stretch.
Yeah, but that those are the important things we believe, that as men, we need to be in God's Word. We need to be in prayer. We need to be making disciples. We need to be evangelizing. Yeah. And we need community.
Well, here's the thing. If you're listening today and you as a guy are not involved in either being trained as a disciple or training somebody in a disciple, you're being disobedient, plain and simple. Hmm. I mean, there's no ambiguity about it. We are to either be being trained to be a disciple or we're to be training somebody to be a disciple, plain and simple. That's as clear as it can be stated. Scripture is, I mean, it's not for just spiritual people. It's for people who are followers of Jesus Christ. So if you say you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you refuse to be trained to be a disciple, you're being rebellious, Brad.
You're saying that it's not an option?
It's not an option.
Making a disciple is not optional?
You're either a disciple maker or you're a disciple maker in training, one of the two.
Hmm.
I mean, that's when Jesus said, follow me, he said, I will make you. He didn't say, follow me, okay, end of story. He said, and I will make you fishers of men. And so we have become content, and people look at guys like you and me and maybe other leaders in the church as saying, okay, when I get super spiritual or when I decide to really get my act together, that I'll do that.
But hey, let me just clue our listeners in. I don't have my act together.
Me either. No, by any stretch. But that's why we need accountability.
No, exactly.
But the point I'm making is I was having a conversation not too long ago with a guy, and he goes, you know, I've got some people in my life that I talk to about God every once in a while. And I'm like, it's not about talking to people about God. It's about being trained to be deployed where you are.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean you have to go to the Philippines or you have to go to Russia or go to Africa, although God may call you that. It is being deployed as a banker, as a doctor, as a shoe salesman. It doesn't matter what you are. It's being trained in the Word of God to be able to be a witness out in the workplace, wherever mm-hmm. you are.
Mm-hmm.
And Brad, I just think we're too content as leaders to never challenge people who are in our flock. And to me, as shepherds, that means we're not caring for our flock.
Well, and I think of in Acts, which we've been in Acts for a while, on our West Side Bible study, that you know Jesus said, you will be my witnesses.
Yeah.
My question maybe to those listening and really to me is, who am I a witness for? Because I even made a little jot in my notes today that am I into the Word or am I into the world?
Mm.
There's one letter difference there. There's an L.
Yeah.
You know, is that so oftentimes I am probably spending far more time in the world than I am in the Word.
Mm.
And as a result, I will be a witness for the world mm. more than I'll be a witness for the Word.
Well, there was a writer named Robert Bella. He was a professor of sociology out at UC Berkeley. And he observed like a religious life in America. And he wrote this book called Habits of the Heart, Individualism and Commitment in American Religious Life. And basically what he noticed was there was a shift to civil religion where basically people came up with their own religion. In fact, one of the persons interviewed in the book was a young nurse named Sheila. And she was famous because she called her religion Sheilaism. Sheilaism. And basically, here's the tenets of her religion. She's basically believed that I believe in God, but I'm not a religious fanatic. And she said, I can't remember the last time I went to church, but my faith has carried me a long way. And it's just Sheilaism. It's just my own little voice. And she defined it as being trying to love yourself, be gentle with yourself, you know. And she says, take care of each other. I think that God would want us to do that. And that's my Sheilaism. That's her religion. Now, there's 400 million people in America. Imagine if everybody had that view. They viewed themselves as being spiritual and religious and having a faith in God, but it was their own. It's like a lady on a plane one time I was sitting next to said, well, my God would send nobody to hell. Hmm. Well, that's because the God that she created was her own God. And that's part of the issue. We've had everybody has their own view, and it's not based on scripture. It's based on feeling, and it's based on their experience of what they think, not what scripture teaches. So anyway, I didn't mean to go off on that rant. Sorry about that.
No, that's good. In fact, it made me think of something I was going to try and look up. Maybe I'll catch it after the break. But since we got just a couple of seconds before we take this break, here's number four on this accountability question. Have you spent quality relationship time with family and friends? What does that look like for most of us out there today? I mean, we were talking about it yesterday. You know, whether it's, you know, can it be quality time spending time on a video game with your sons? Yeah, probably could be. You know, how about this? Have you done your 100% best in your job, school, etc.?
Wow,
that's a tough one.
Yeah.
Hey, join us after the break. Call us 904-401-1413, SWAT Radio.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
SWAT Radio is brought to you on the truth by Evolve Bank and Trust. Evolve offers investment services, trust and mortgage services, physician lending, and equipment finance. Through its affiliates, a network of bankers, trust officers, and mortgage advisors, they offer a wide array of loan products and services and are actively involved in the growth of the communities they serve. Evolve is a nationwide lender providing residential mortgage loans, including conventional, FHA, VA, home equity lines of credit, reverse mortgages, and USDA loans. More information is available by calling Michael Koopman with Evolve Bank and Trust at 727-415-2214. Their web address is www.clearwater.evolve.mortgage. Equal housing lender. All loans subject to credit approval.
Man, I love that tune as we come into this.
Makes me want to start swinging, man.
I love that entry into our last segment of the day. Gets us kind of fired up, Brian. Way to pump it in there. Hey, I want to just finish up this list. So I finished with number five. Have you done your 100% best in your job, school, etc.? Number six, have you told any half-truths or outright lies, putting yourself in a better light to those around you?
A half-truth is not really a truth at all, is it?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, a half-truth, what did he say? A half-truth told as a whole truth is no truth.
Is no truth, exactly. Number seven, have you shared the gospel with an unbeliever this week?
My favorite.
I love that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, who is in your life asking you that question? Mm-hmm. I mean, Doug, you're that guy for me. You know,
I love asking that question, though, because that here's the thing. It's not a guilt question. It's just saying it's reminding people, I think, of our purpose.
Well, I mean, you don't ask me if I've showed pictures of my grandson to anybody because you know I have.
Yeah.
And how do you know that I have? Because I love him like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
We love Christ. We're going to not just talk about it. We're going to be a witness for him.
Well, thinking let me jump on that, because our verse for this week is Ephesians 2:8-10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, or his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And one of those great works you experienced in the Philippines, mm-hmm. and you experience every time you get to share the gospel, when you share the good news with somebody that needs to hear it, it's like no other feeling in the world.
Well, you even touched on it a little bit this morning. We talking about Paul going from place to place to place. He was an encouragement to people. Why was he an encouragement? Because he shared the greatest encouraging words anybody could ever hear, and that's the gospel. Mm-hmm. Now, he might point out some areas of certainly in Corinth and Ephesus, all these places he went to, and he called out sin. But he gave them words of encouragement, which were the gospel.
He did. And I'll tell you what, the gospel has an ability to change a life. Tomorrow, Brad, on MSNBC at 10 a.m. and at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, there's going to be an interview of a guy named Ken Parker from Jacksonville. Hmm. Now, Ken Parker was the communications lead nationally for the Ku Klux Klan. And one of our SWAT guys, a guy named Ronnie, who is a black brother in Christ, shared the gospel with Ken one day outside of his apartment at his apartment complex. They were outside near the pool. And Ken had
tattoos on him.
Swastika cat tattoos on his body. He had always talked about white power. And he was a KKK guy. He was a communications leader nationally for them. Ronnie shared the gospel with Ken. His life, right there on the spot, he trusted Christ. We're going to have Ronnie in this Friday mm-hmm. to share about that in the Philippines, because Ronnie went to the Philippines with us. But tomorrow at 10 a.m. and at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, they're doing a story on MSNBC called The Rehabilitation of Hate. And they came out and they interviewed Ken, they interviewed Ronnie, they filmed his baptism, and now Ken has been attending Ronnie's church, and he's the only white guy in the church, which is amazing, and that's what happens. You know why? Because Ken is realizing that we are his workmanship, created in Christ, and created for good works. And Ronnie
was faithful
to that. And Ken was at our SWAT retreat this weekend, and he was out there. Ronnie was supposed to be there with him, but Ronnie got called away to do a funeral up in Georgia. But I mean, here's this amazing story of reconciliation. Ronnie was a conduit. He wasn't just a consumer. He doesn't just come to SWAT to get charged. He came to SWAT in that particular week that happened. I had been up in North Carolina doing a retreat, and it was Billy Graham's funeral. And God really impressed upon me to come back and to teach and to train and equip on sharing your faith. And after doing that, Ronnie went out. He was at the pool, and he sees this guy with these he'd seen him before. And he talked to him before. He always tried to be nice, but he said, I felt so impressed to go share the gospel. And I think that word workmanship, masterpiece, isn't it interesting how God weaves together timing and events and everything for his perfect timing?
Well, this text, I'm glad you brought it up. By the way, Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. Really, go back to verse 1. Just read through that whole thing. But I love these little things. We are his workmanship. We're not our workmanship.
We're his.
You know, Doug, I don't know. Well, yeah, I was going to say, I don't know about you, but I do know you. And I know me. And I like to take credit.
We all do, don't
you know,
we?
I was looking at verse 9. You know, think about the theology in this little passage. And I wrote down this yesterday. Salvation is not a result of works. It's not a result of my works.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it were, those results of works, we would brag about it. I mean, it's basically my own translation. If it were a result of my works, I'd brag about
it. You'd be taking credit, man.
Absolutely. But we're his workmanship. And it kind of just weaves in, dovetails perfectly into what you were talking about this morning, about being a conduit and a transmitter. We're just the conduit. We're just the the receiver of the power, and that goes through us.
Well, I mean, I want you to think about the power, and I think about Philippians 3:10, about the power of the resurrection. You know, for Ronnie to go up as a black man to a guy who says, basically with what he's got tattooed on his body, I hate black people.
I hate white people.
I mean, no.
He has tattooed on his body.
Mm-hmm. I hate black people. He's been part of an organization that hated black people. Mm-hmm. And here this black brother is bold to go up and lovingly share the gospel with him because he recognizes this guy needs Jesus, not knowing what the outcome's going to be, not knowing that that may get him in, you know, some kind of physical harm. He risked going up there. And I think we're so comfortable in our little lives. And God, look what God did. Now this is going to be put out on national television. I mean, and think about it. It shows that love can overcome hate. And the power of Christ can overcome hate.
Yeah. And this isn't about Ronnie.
No, not
at all. And Ronnie would be the first one to say this isn't about me.
No.
But it is a great illustration. It's a great picture of a guy who is faithful to do what he was convicted to do. Mm. You know, how many times where we haven't spoken up, we haven't gone across the street or across the hall and shared our faith with people who are far, you know, less brutal than this guy probably. And I'm thinking, wow, how many opportunities are we missing out on? The good works that God's prepared for us.
Yeah, and the enemy wants to rob us of joy. And I can't imagine thinking that every time Ronnie went outside his apartment and that guy was out there, the messages of hate that were transmitted by what he was wearing or what he was talking about. And God overcame that. And, you know, one of the questions he asked down here is, have you allowed any person or circumstance to rob you of your joy? Mm. Well, if you go back, if you think, Paul says, anything we experience here, he's talking in his own life, is light and momentary compared to what we're going to experience on the other side. And we've said this before many times. If you are a believer, what you experience here on earth is the closest thing to hell you will ever experience negative in your life. Mm. But if you are an unbeliever, then what you're experiencing here is the closest thing to heaven. So as believers, it's not going to get any worse for us once we pass from this place. This is as bad as it's going to be for us. We've got something positive to look forward to. And quite frankly, Brad, I don't think we have that perspective very often.
No, we don't want to face that reality.
No. We don't. Anyway.
Well, anyway, I love that. Have you shared the gospel with an unbeliever? How about this one? Have you taken care of your body through daily physical exercise or proper eating, sleeping habits?
Would Krispy Kreme donuts be in the proper eating habits?
Hey, listen, I think you deserve it every once in a while.
But 12 donuts at a time really probably isn't a good thing, is it? Okay, I admit it. I confess, I love Krispy Kreme. The problem is they're hot. And they just melt in your mouth, and you eat one, and it tastes like a little bitty bite.
Okay, this isn't an advertise. You know, this isn't somebody advertising. But have you ever had the donut shop?
Is that the one out at the Jack's Beach?
Or? No, it's out toward JU. It's on University Boulevard.
Do they make specialty little donuts?
Oh, my word. They are an old-fashioned donut shop.
Oh, really?
Okay. Okay. Best donuts. I'll have to pick them up.
Okay, because there's a... here we are. How do we get on food? We always go to food, man, somehow. Okay, we need some accountability, Brian,
well,
on
so
the
here's
food
the thing. Read the last question on this accountability
okay,
question.
Okay, well, this is interesting because as an FBI agent, when I used to go out and do interviews, one of the questions I would ask is, have you lied about any of your answers today? Which is, you know, there's something about being accountable. When you ask somebody that question, when you ask them that question and their countenance changes, oh no, I haven't lied. You know, it's like your kid, one of your children trying to lie to you and you know it right away, right? But there's something when asked, you didn't see that coming, you know?
My dad was a secret agent sometime. He used to ask me three times. You know, he was trying to get, did you take a cookie out of that cookie jar? No. Let me ask you again. Did you take a cookie out of the cookie jar? No. By the third time, he had
okay,
me in tears.
Okay, okay, I got it. Exactly. I did it, Daddy. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
Okay.
Oh, hey, man, we're going to wrap it up.
Yeah. Hey, man, it went quick today. So, hey, we look forward to seeing you guys tomorrow. Brad, thank you. Man, just good taking those questions.
Absolutely. Hey, hopefully you can join us. If you haven't downloaded the app, SWAT Radio.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on Past Shows, where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual warriors and spreading His truth.
WTRJ.